Well, once again, let me say here in my last opportunity that it's really been a pleasure to be with you all here. I've really enjoyed it. My family who have come with me have enjoyed being with you all very much. It's been good to get to know a number of you and to get to know some of you much better than we'd known you in the past. We're very, very thankful to God and very thankful again for the invitation to be here. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 11 tonight. And before I read the passage, I just want to mention that the beginning illustration I'm going to use, I did not think of with our picture-taking experience in mind. I didn't know we were going to be sitting on that hill facing the sun for 25 minutes or so. But what I want, it's going to help to make this stick in your mind, probably. But the point is this, is that when we have problems with anxiety, we're going to see from this passage that it really begins with an eyesight problem. It's a problem of vision and many, many other problems that we have, especially that unbelievers have, can all be boiled down, in a sense, to an eye problem. That's the teaching of the Word of God here. So let's read verses 29 through 36 of Luke chapter 11. And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, Jesus began to say, "This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." Well, in our passage, let's notice, first of all, in verse 33, that Jesus tells us that God has a lamp, and that lamp is shining very brightly. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. Whoever put those lights there, put them in a place so that they would be shedding light, and especially so that I would be able to see light when I stand here. But if they put them on the other side of that wall, up against the wall over there, they wouldn't be doing any good. I wouldn't be able to see, or you wouldn't be able to see me, because the light wouldn't be shining on me. And the point here is God has a lamp and it's shining brightly. God is not hiding the truth, is what that's saying. Now, what, or maybe better, who is God's lamp, if you will, in this situation? Well, God's lamp is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ shines the light of truth. And we could say it this way, that God has put Jesus out there to be seen. Just like it says in the Bible that John was a bright and shining lamp, Jesus is a bright and shining lamp, and he shines even brighter than John the Baptist did. Remember in verse 29 where I read at the beginning, it says, Jesus says, "This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it." Now, Jesus didn't say, "You've been given a bright, shining light for a sign." He didn't say that, but that's in effect what Jesus did when he came into the world. Jesus was right out there, and he could have said, I am speaking and working miracles in your presence every single day. What more of a sign do you want? And then he did say, I will rise again one day. That's when what he meant when he speaks about the sign of Jonah the prophet. Just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days, Jesus would be in the belly of the earth for 3 days, and then he would rise again. He is shining brightly, and when he rose from the dead, he would shine even brighter. And the point is, this is what you do with lamps. And that's what God did with Jesus Christ. He put him right out there as a bright, shining lamp. That is what God has done. So the point of verse 33 is this. God has a lamp, and it's shining brightly. Now the rest of the passage, verses 34 to 36, makes this point. You have a lamp. How is it working? That's the question that comes to us in the text. You have a lamp. How is it working? Notice, first of all, the first part of verse 34. Your lamp is your eye. It says, the lamp of the body is the eye. Now, in the first point in verse 33, the lamp is the source of truth and the source of understanding. That's God himself. That's Jesus Christ. That's the lamp in verse 33. Here we have the same figure of speech, the same illustration, a lamp, but it's a different idea here. Here, the lamp is the means by which the truth of God's word enters your soul. It's not the source of the light, it's the means by which it enters your soul. So look at it this way. When the sun comes up in the morning, there's light. But in the room I'm sleeping in, because there are some thick curtains, it's still dark in my room. God is causing the lamp to shine outside of our room, but it doesn't shine inside of our room because the window is kind of like the eye here. That's what it means when it says that. When I open our curtains in the morning, the whole room is bright. That's the idea. Your lamp is your eye. That's how light gets into you, the light of God shining from outside of you. The second point here is this, the second part of verse 34, the state of your eye determines the state of your entire being. It determines the state of your soul. So that your eye is like your mind or like your heart, we could say. It says literally, verse 34, when your eye is good, or literally when your eye is single, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. When it says single, it might mean simple or good or healthy or sound or clear. However you look at it, if your eye is working well, the way it should work, then your whole body is full of light. And the point here is this. If a person believes in Jesus Christ, then his eye is good. His mind is working the way it should. His heart is working the way it should. That gives light to the whole man, the whole person. He believes in Jesus. He believes the word of God and follows it. His eye then is good. That's the point. But if his eye is bad, in other words, if his eye is distracted or it's divided, a single eye means looking at Jesus Christ. A bad eye is a divided eye. It's not looking at Jesus. It's looking here and there or somewhere else, everywhere else, but not where it should be looking. And there are different kinds of distractions that we have. It might be false teaching. It might be the things of this world. It might be yourself, because you're always looking at yourself, which is not where you should be looking. Or you're looking at some sin that your eye is fixed upon and you're going after it like a madman, or like the scripture says, like an ox going to the slaughter. If your eye is bad, everything is bad about your life. Your whole soul is bad. The point is, if your eye is divided, you do not have clear sight. And the problem is not with God's lamp. The problem is not with Jesus Christ. It's not with the Word of God. It's not with the Holy Spirit. The problem is yours. if your eye is not working the way it should. Just like in the parable of the sower, the problem is never with the seed, it's with the soil. That's the way Jesus is speaking here as well. God is assigning blame if people are lost and go to hell. He's assigning blame to sinners. God is not the one to be blamed whenever a sinner is lost and goes to hell. So let's take this illustration now and look at it. Because of bad eyes, let's just think of it as a physical illustration first. A person is in the dark. For instance, these lights are shining brightly, and if I dropped my glasses on the floor, I could find them easily. But if I closed my eyes after I dropped my glasses on the floor, no light would be coming into my eyes. I wouldn't be able to find my glasses. I'd probably step on them before I was able to find them and pick them up, because there's no light going into my eyes, even though there's plenty of light out here. Look at it in a spiritual sense. If I have bad eyes, then I am in the dark in terms of knowledge, or I am in the dark spiritually. Though God's light from His Word and from His Son and from the preachers of the Word that God sends to me, they might be shining the light ever so brightly, as bright as the sun, but I'm still going to be in darkness if my eyes are not working. If your eye is working well, all will go well. If not, then it will not. So your lamp is your eye. The state of your eye determines the state of your entire being, the state of your soul. Third, how you use your eye then is of great importance. And it starts with an exhortation in verse 35, or an admonition, which is, make sure you use your eye rightly. Verse 35, therefore take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. It's very similar to the things Pastor Martinez said before I came up here and the things he prayed. He said that we should be careful how we hear. It's the same idea here. Take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. That you're opening your eye to receive the truth and using your eye the way God intends you to use it. It's the idea, listen to the word of God, believe it, and obey it. As Jesus said, take heed how you hear. Listen to the word of God, believe it, obey it. And in this text, it means remove any obstacle or anything that hinders you from that. If there's something in front of your eye, get rid of it. And Jesus is saying to these people when he spoke on this day, don't be unbelieving and hard-hearted like your Jewish teachers. And he's saying to us, don't be unbelieving and hard-hearted like the Jews that Jesus spoke to. Don't ever bet your soul on what you think everybody knows, or what they think everybody knows. And what the world thinks everybody knows is this, that a mere carpenter from Nazareth is no prophet. He's not the Son of God. The whole world might tell you that nowadays. The people of our generation tell you that nowadays, but that is not the truth. And deep down, even if you're an unbeliever, you know what the truth is. The truth is that God is in heaven. He is God. He did do all the things that the scriptures say, that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and He did these miracles, and He did die for sin, and He did rise again from the dead, and thus He is your only hope for salvation. As you hear all the time from the pulpit at IBR in North Bergen. And it's also true that He is coming again. He is coming to judge. And you may say, well, but I don't really know that because I've never seen proof. I will grant it to a point that you don't really know that. There's some level at which you're not really convinced that that is true if you're an unbeliever. But the reason for that is that you're in darkness. But the scripture also says that every man, it teaches this in Romans 1, you've heard it, I'm sure, really does know. Because God made him, God made him in his own image, and God made you with his law in your heart and a conscience in your being. And it tells you, even if you only keep it muffled to a whisper, that Jesus Christ is true and all the things the Bible says are true. The point is this: God is shining the light, but you, if you're not a Christian, because of your hardness of heart and unbelief and your sin, can't see it. Not because it's not true, not because God is not doing enough to help you, but because you won't see it. Just like right now, those lights are shining brightly, and I do not see them. It's not because they're not shining. It's because I had my eyes closed. And that's why I said, you know it deep down. And if you're an unbeliever, I don't know what exactly your problem is. What are the things standing in the way of you seeing it? Like the curtains in my room in the morning. I could lie there till noon, waiting for the sun to come up. But it's been up. I just need to go and pull back the shades, pull back the curtains. And I don't know what the curtains are in your life that keep you from seeing the truth and believing it, but it would be worth your while to spend some time alone in a room and ask, what exactly is the shade? Or where are the blinds that are pulled over the windows of my eyes that prevent me from seeing the light of the world, Jesus Christ? What prejudice against him do I have? What sin do I have? What fear do I have about believing in Jesus? What reason is there? May God open your eyes to know what that is, that you might remove it by the grace and power of God. So there's an exhortation in verse 35, and then finally in verse 36, we have an encouragement. And the encouragement is basically this: if you use your eye well, you will be greatly blessed. Let's read verse 36. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, in other words, if you open it so the light can get in, if then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. The New King James wording is not the best here. It's probably better to translate it something like this: if your whole body is lit up, then it will be entirely lit up. The point is this: if the whole room is receiving light because the eye really is letting it in, then it will be really bright in there. Imagine a police officer was coming to someone's house and he had a light with him, flashlight or whatever, but with the intensity of light of these lights right here. And even though it's dark out and dark inside the house, if he could press that up against an open window with no covering, it would light up the room that he's looking into. So he comes up to it, but he's standing outside and the shade is pulled. And though he shines his light, there's still dark in the room. Or even if the blinds are just partially drawn, he's only going to get part of his light into that room so he can see some of the room. But if he comes to the window and there's nothing in front of the window and he puts his light up to it, it's going to light up the whole room. That's the point here. If your eye is working, then God's light will shine in and fill your whole soul. If you receive the truth of God's word with faith, you will be abundantly blessed by it. You'll be able to see inside the room and walk around and know what's going on. In James 1:21, there's a statement that says we should receive with meekness the implanted word of God, and it will save our souls. And that's the point here. Open your eyes and receive the truth of the Word of God. And then if you do that, if you're not a Christian sitting here tonight, but you start opening your eyes tonight to the truth of God's word, this is what this text is saying in your case. Things will become new. Old things will pass away and everything will be new for you. Everything will, in a sense, be understandable. There's a sense in which you'll be able to understand the whole world in a way you never have before. And things that are fearful to you and frightening to you will become, you'll become comfortable even around those things. If you're in a new place where you don't know the people and you don't know the things, it can be daunting for some people more than for others. But if you're walking around in that place with someone who knows the place, and who knows the people in that place, it's not so frightening, is it? And that's the idea here. Jesus said to his people in John 15, to his disciples, he said, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you." God's word tells us, Jesus tells us in his word, about how to understand the world. What's going on in the world? Isn't that true if you were a Christian back in 2001, September 11th? And people said, how could this be happening? The World Trade Center falling down. How could people be so mean to one another? How could they hate people so terribly as that? And as a Christian, you said, I fully understand it. That's how I would act if God took his grace away from me. That's the result of sin. That's the result of the work of Satan, unbridled in a sense in the world. And everything, if you believe in Christ, will become delightful to you. You will be given a good conscience. As Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That is ultimately free. Eventually, you'll be freed from everything that causes you pain, free from everything that puts you in fear, creates doubt, or troubles you, and you get a great deal of that even here in this life. If you're not a Christian, this is the question you should be asking yourself tonight. What is preventing the light, God's light, from lighting up your whole body? It's not God. It is not God. It's not his fault. Is it a person that you've set your love upon and made an idol over? Is it a thing that you've made your idol? Is it a sin that is your idol? Whatever it is, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Or you will stay in the dark because your eye will be bad. Even though God's light is shining brightly, you have the Bible that you can read. You have, many of you, Christian family members. What you heard last night is a great blessing, even if you don't realize it. You have sound preaching that you get to hear in this church. It's you that is blocking out the light. Because your lamp, your eye, is bad. Don't let that go on anymore. Confess your sin and your unbelief to God and ask for his forgiveness as Christ. Our prayer is that this night you will cry out to God and ask him to make your eye good. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and ask that you would open the eyes of every spiritually blind person here. And Father, we who are Christians likewise confess that all too often our eyes get bad in the sense that we let other things get in the way of our view of Jesus Christ. Forgive us for those sins and give us a single eye that is focused on him and him alone so that our whole body will be full of light. We ask now that you would take all the things we've heard here at this place this week. We thank you for your time and we ask that you would bring forth abundant fruit in our lives for the glory of Jesus Christ, your Son. And we ask it in his name. Amen.